much fun.
You're welcome.
My face hurts from smiling.
Complain all you like, it worked.
You should have killed Craddock while we were up there.
That's the spirit.
All right, welcome back to Logic Gate, Andor podcast, season 2, episode 6. This episode is called What a Festive Evening. My name's Scott. I'm joined by my friends.
I'm Doug.
Jason, you gotta use eye contact.
That was the opposite of eye contact. I like to keep you guys guessing.
You looked at Jason while pointing at me.
Yeah, yeah. See,
that was.
It doesn't come across in the podcast like you think it does.
My clever visual puns don't transfer to audio. Is that what you're saying?
We just explained it, and now people listening know what happened there. That's fair on the joke.
We just lost.
Explain the joke, and it's really funny when you do that.
We just lost 10 listeners, viewers. All right, we're talking about the 6th episode. Where do you guys want to start? There was a lot going on in this.
Well, I had it broken up to 3 things.
Yeah, basically. What do you got?
The Gorman heist.
Yep.
The big party, Davos Skulden's party, and then Cassian and Bix's littler element on Coruscant. Their thing is kind of separate.
Was that Davos Skulden's party? Like, he was doing that?
I wasn't sure what that was.
That's basically like what I wrote down was that's like a kickoff for the new season of the Senate.
Is that what it was?
Well, I don't know. That's why I wasn't 100% sure.
It was just a bunch of rich people getting together to do rich people stuff.
Well, all right. Yeah, there was like a bit about Mon Mothma having to go to a bunch of different senator parties. So, and like being exhausted because it was something was going on at the moment. I don't know exactly.
So my notes I wrote down, they are planning a new senator initiation thing, ? Because it seems like, you know, I mean, like in our Senate here in the United States, like they have, season's the wrong word, but they have sessions, right? And they've run from, you know, I don't even know, I'm making this up, February to August or whatever, right? So it seems like there was a new session was starting and there was a discussion of Luthen's quote was a new season of legislative initiative, like he was trying to hype it up, right? So they're kicking it off. We see Mon Mothma in the Senate and she's watching just some random other senator talking about the quote assembly of an empire, and she's like aggressively gripping the side of the podium. So we're actually seeing the empire being birthed in this Senate, in this Senate session, right?
Apparently that's an Oath Keeper in Palpatine's chair screaming out an oath to the allegiance to the empire. And so like everyone was like following along this oath or thing. And
Was everybody saying?
Or something like that. I don't know. Mothma was seemed disturbed. That's what I remember from that. It was very disturbing.
She didn't look like she was on board with it.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not part of the empire, if you're on the other side of it and you're watching it become legitimate, I would imagine that's alarming. Mon Mothma had a great line to Krennic. She runs into Krennic and she says, "How pleasant to see you free of the witness stand." Like, so there's a lot of good guys and bad guys interacting with each other. And like, you know, everybody knows what time it is, right? But, you know, you still have to put on these airs of, you know, I hate you, but I can't punch you in the face kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Also, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't this the first episode we get a taste of Benjamin Bratt?
That's the next thing I wrote down. Okay. I think you mentioned this last time, was they run into Senator Bail Organa, but it's not Jimmy Smits.
Yeah.
I haven't looked any of that up. I mean, Jimmy Smits is, I'm sure, available.
He's still alive. He's doing stuff.
They haven't...
I thought he was dead. I looked it up, and he's still alive, and he's actively acting. So I was curious. I don't know why they
changed that.
Maybe he's too big shot.
I did write that down, yeah.
I don't think Jimmy Smits is too big shot.
There was a line as the Mothmas are walking into this big party, initiation, whatever it was, that this year they don't have to monitor anyone, that they just get to enjoy the show. I think Bail Organa says that to them. Like, so in the past, they were assigning, different people, like, you keep an eye on so-and-so and you keep an eye on so-and-so just to see who he's talking to so that we can get ahead of all these politics, right? But like this time they don't have to do that. They just get to quote unquote enjoy the show.
Just a quick side note. I know you said Bail Organa. In my head, since it's Benjamin Bratt, I'm just going to replace that with Fail Organa.
Wow.
Fail Organa.
What do you got against Benjamin Bratt?
Yeah, what's wrong with Benjamin Bratt?
He's not Jimmy Smits.
Okay, well, I mean, you're not wrong. Jimmy Smits is a great actor.
He killed it.
Did he?
Killed it?
Yeah.
What did he, I mean, Bail Organa had a small part. I just watched.
Right, he had like two lines in the prequel trilogy and he nailed them.
I mean, I'm not saying he wasn't a good Bail Organa. I'm just saying that character didn't do a whole lot. All right, so
maybe they're just trying to avoid the stench of the prequels because we know everyone hates the prequels.
Not true.
There's no debate about that.
I literally just rewatched. Which one did I just watch? This two? Anyway,
the worst one.
Still good. No, it's not the worst one. Yoda fights. He kicks.
That's like one cool thing.
Look, if you want to appreciate the prequels, watch the sequels.
Yeah, good point. Okay. All right, we're talking about Andor, though. We got to get back on track. All right, so the Mothmas and I mean, they're at this big party, and Kleya and Luthen actually show up too. We should start out, we see Kleya, and she is at her shop, and Luthen calls on the radio and says they're doing spycraft again. And so Luthen says, the peace is not ready. And Kleya says, we knew that already. So they're doing spycraft, pretend talking about artifacts, but really what they're talking about is the Gorman front not being ready to be a full-blown member of the rebellion. They end up, I think we already said this, they end up going to this same party as the Mothmas, and Kleya actually runs into Luthen's spy from the sewers. I mean, I don't know, his name is Lonnie, that little redheaded guy. She basically like hijacks. I mean, she essentially forcibly grabs him and pulls him and says, you must come with me. Like, he doesn't want to be seen with her because, like, them being associated together, probably not good news for him.
I think this was actually kind of a significant point, though, because this marks the first time that we've seen Kleya acting independently of Luthen.
Oh, this is the first time we've seen Kleya really doing anything other than running the radio, right?
Yeah.
I mean, she doesn't have a whole lot of action. She's been a background character until this episode.
She's done a little bit of misdirection, little bit of like running interference for Luthen in the shop. But this is the first time like we've seen her doing field work like on her own.
Well, they were playing fast and loose because they really didn't have a plan, because you know that, because Lonnie wasn't originally supposed to even be at that party. I think it was,
Hardigas. I wrote that down later. I guess we can talk about it now. So what was the deal with that? So Partagaz basically says somebody else got promoted or got a new job, and then he basically promotes Lonnie and that other guy to go.
It was Dr. Gorse gets his own like department in the military.
Dr. Gorst is getting a promotion, and the Lonnie and his buddy have to fill in, and they get excited about it because they, I assume, have something to do. And Partagas's line was, it's an assignment. Calibrate your enthusiasm. So they're excited to do something. Do we know who Dr. Gorst is or what this other job is?
Dr. Gorse is the torturer.
Is he the torturer guy? Okay, guy, so he's just been promoted up the food chain for being such a good torturer?
He was part of the ISB and had that sort of special interrogation unit, and the military recruited him to go out of the ISB into the broader Empire military to have his own unit because he was so good at it.
He's been promoted, and these guys are backfilling this position.
This is the same guy who tortured Bix.
Indeed.
That sounds right now that you say that. So, that's what's going on.
So, Lonnie...
That helps fill that in. Yeah,
Lonnie wasn't even supposed to be at this party, but it was opportune because it gave Kleya an in to the inner collection, Davos Golden's collection area, with all those big wigs. Lonnie had access, and Kleya just sort of flirted with him to get into that section, So it was very lucky for her to be able to get in there and access to that. So,
but I think, yes, lucky, but I think the whole point of the scene is to show us her decision-making, her versatility.
Thinking on the fly.
Yeah, she's able to adapt and
yeah.
make it happen, so to speak.
To be an active member of this rebellion and not just the lady that stays back at the shop and runs the comms.
Well,
exactly.
Like, yeah. her and Luthen were arguing about the whole listening devices thing. I don't know whose idea it was or somebody, but they were, like, arguing, and they're showing, like, some differences of opinion and, like, her being angry at Luthen with how this all went down. So that kind of makes me think about how many people are angry at Luthen for all these different things. I'm just wondering, like where, you know, Luthen's going to die. Like we've talked about that, you know, like he's not going to make it into Rogue One and so on and so forth. So I'm just wondering who it's like almost a future murder mystery for me. Like who is
I didn't even angry put two enough. And two together that eventually he probably dies.
I don't know if he gets killed, but like
I mean he ends
Cassian
up,
is mad yeah. at him for what he's doing with Bix. We'll get to that, and then like Kleia seems to be irritated, and then Mon Mothma is also mad at him probably or resentful that he basically killed her best friend Tay, you know, or one of her good friends Tay. Take Holma in the last
yeah,
first three
yeah,
episodes, right. And then who else? Like, I think I wrote down a whole list of people that are mad at Luthen.
Lonnie's not exactly happy with him either.
Yeah, Lonnie probably.
Yeah,
not.
Yeah, Lonnie feels really actually, cornered by him.
A better exercise would be who has Luthen come in contact with that isn't mad at him.
I mean, Kleia maybe is the only one Vel, that tolerates him.
Vel, and also what happens in this. Episode, but not just that, just keeping Cinta from Vel, that they find out he's kind of organizing, you know, what missions they go on. It seems like he was part of their separation and split up. So
wait, so you're saying Luthen was purposely keeping Vel and Cinta apart?
Yeah, I think that's stated in the episode when they're talking about like what missions and stuff.
Okay.
And Luthen didn't inform Vel of her accident or what was going on with her, you know.
Oh, that's right. All right, well, let's finish up with Kleia's storyline. So Kleia grabs Lonnie from the party, basically drags him away. She makes him laugh, forcibly laugh and pretend flirt with him so they can sneak into the back room and get the recording device from the off of the table. She's trying to unscrew it under the table. It gets stuck. Long story short, you know, Krennic starts meandering that way. She's squeezing so hard, like her hand starts to bleed. Like, you know, there's a long drawn out. Is she going to be able to extract this microphone or not? She gets it just in the nick of time. Krennic arrives at the table that it's on to see, quote unquote, the book, which is some sort of artifact that you read by touching it. You know, it's like some sort of like,
it's a Tinian codex, is what I wrote down, created 2,000 years ago. I guess they valued touch over, you know, all of their communication, something
it
like that.
It was just kind of a cool art yeah. piece.
I grant that essentially it's just a MacGuffin, but
right.
I like the way that they kind of do all the artifact stuff because essentially it's world building, right?
Or yeah, oh, for
galaxy
sure.
Galaxy building. Mm-hmm. You know, it builds the history and the lore of
that's the best everything. Part of, I mean, Tony Gilroy, this show, right, is all the just the little stupid, and stupid's the wrong word, all the little world building that really doesn't serve any larger purpose other than just to build out that, to flesh out that universe. So it feels real and not like,
for
you
sure.
know, a comic book.
Yes.
You know,
and even the machinations in that little scene where Kleia is struggling with it, but also kind of explaining the history of it to Lonnie in that moment. You think, why is she, you know, going through that? But that gives Lonnie an out to like explain why Kleia likes it, which gives, you know, gives the impression that they were flirting and like he
yeah,
learned
yeah.
something about her. So it's like, it all worked out. It was all purposeful and, you know, locked in. It was great.
Did you write down the quote? So after this, you know, they get the listening device out of there. The scene is over. They're all walking away. Did you write down the quote, Luthen's quote? Because I thought it was great.
Oh, no, I didn't write down. But yeah, I know.
Luthen says to Kleia as they're walking out of the building, he says, "We should have killed Krennic up there while we had the opportunity." And it just makes me wonder, like, if you're a president, you know, you're Obama and you're meeting Putin, you know, there's that famous picture of him scowling at him. Like, you know, this guy is a murderer and a douchebag and just a terrible human being. And you're 3 feet away from him. Like, you have the opportunity to punch him in the face or kill him. Like, I mean, clearly you can't because of politics and optics and whatnot. But I just thought that was really interesting. I mean, here's Luthen facing, like, the one of the worst generals in the empire that he's trying to fight against. I mean, he wants to.
He may save lives, you know, if you kill him, which takes down the mission, you know, maybe hurts or delays the Death Star and all of that. So, yeah, it's an interesting conversation they have walking away, or at least, you get into their thought process about that,
Do you want to talk about Cassian or Gorman next?
Let's talk Cassian first. I think Gorman's the real
kind of the
meat
penultimate.
Sure.
Luthen and Cassian are on Port Steerguard, is what I wrote down. Cassian is late because they had an inspection, quote unquote. So that's just a little bit more world building. Like, he shows up late and he has an excuse because, I mean, there's a real universe, you know, consequences, real things happening. They fly back to Coruscant, and Luthen actually inquires about the Gorman front. So they're just, you know, making small talk while they're flying. And Cassian says, do not get involved on Gorman. They are not ready. You know, like, I know you want these guys to be the poster child of the rebellion, but they're just not organized. They don't have their stuff together. Like, you can't. That you don't rely on them. And Luthen actually calls him out. He's like, dude, you're only there for 3 days. So Luthen really wants this to happen. Cassian's trying to talk him down. The Gorman front, they started too late and now they're rushing, is what Cassian says. You know, this hasn't been a long process on Gorman, that this has been festering for a year kind of thing. They're just now getting up to speed, which again is just not enough time for an organized rebellion, at least in Cassian's mind. But Luthen pushes back and says, yeah, but his quote is that Gorman is a planet of wealth and status. So if you were going to have a poster child for your rebellion, you want it to be a planet of wealth and status, not, you know, the poor slums of Tatooine or whatever. You want somebody who can go on the news, who they can have video clips of and, you know, interviews with people on the ground of how bad the Empire is versus just some, you know, poor slave girl on Tatooine kind of thing.
The thing I took from this is more that Cassian was looking at the kind of the strategy of it and like the heist and the specifics of that mission. And Luthen was like, hey, take a step back. Think about the general politics. Think about, even if the mission fails, think about, you know, what, you know, people may die. That's a sacrifice I'm willing to make. You know, like, it's,
Luthen's
it may look
looking
good for the rebellion if the those people are attacked and there's a slaughter, you know, stuff like that happens.
Luthen's looking at the optics, like you said. If anybody's going to get slaughtered and it's going to be on the news, a rich, opulent planet is going to be a way better for the rebellion than, again, some, you know, poor slum somewhere. So there is some debate there about basically whether or not Gorman is a good target.
Well, and remember Cassian's perspective too, is it wasn't that long ago that he just went through being stranded on, oh, what was the planet where his ship crashed, and he ran into the buffoons that were quote-unquote rebels.
Oh, that was Yavin, yeah.
Oh, well, right, that was Yavin, yeah.
Though, I mean, the point is that Cassian has been on the front lines. He's been doing missions, he's been to Gorman, he's been on Yavin, he's been hijacking planes. Luthen's just sitting back in the Senate, you know, pulling the puppet strings. So Cassian's telling him, like, hey, I know, like, from your point of view, you know, from up on in your ivory tower, things are looking okay, but I'm telling you, I've been to the front and things, they're not as good as you want them to be. We see Cassian arrive back at his apartment and he kind of walks in he gets his pistol out and he walks in like he almost like he was expecting an ambush. You know, he doesn't walk in the front door, you know, happily like he's excited to see Bix. I did note that Bix cleaned up the apartment a lot, like it was very well organized and polished. I assume because she literally had nothing else to do. So, I mean, between doing space drugs, she cleaned up their apartment. Cassian gets mad, or Bix basically tells Cassian that Luthen had come by and, you know, in essence offered her a job, and Cassian is pissed. He's mad that Cassian even considered having Bix go on a mission because he knows you need a rest, is what he said. So Bix is still fresh off of her torture. So this is, what, are we a year out from when she's been tortured? Maybe a little bit more?
Well, I mean,
the end of season one to now?
She got tortured in season one, mm-hmm. like hardcore tortured. And then there was the assault / rape attempt.
Oh, true. I didn't even think about that.
Like she's been through some shit.
Yeah. Well, the point is that Cassian is very upset that Luthen would even talk to Bix and consider offering her a job. So Cassian actually, like, kind of in the middle of the night, rushes off to Luthen's shop to call him out, you know, like, hey, leave my girlfriend out of this. She's, you know, been through some shit. So Luthen basically calls Cassian a wuss, and he reminds Cassian of the line he said. Cassian in season one asks Luthen, either kill me or let me in. So he is like, you know, whatever, a year ago, you were willing to have, you know, do whatever it took to get into this. And now I offer your girlfriend a job. And now all of a sudden, like, that's crossing the line. I don't think they've really come to a conclusion. Just basically Cassian lets Luthen know he's really pissed and that Bix is kind of off limits. And he has to, like, Luthen has to make some sort of cover story. Like, I can't remember. You came to drop off some artifact or pick up some artifact. So if somebody asks why you were here at 8 o'clock at night, you know, that's why, because we got to keep up appearances.
It's pretty sloppy. It's pretty lame, you know, of Cassian, I guess, or not lame, but Luthen he says that Cassian is putting everything at risk just by doing that. And it's like the second time he's disappointed Luthen because he wouldn't take the mission on Gorman as well. And it seems like maybe Cassian is losing sight of what it takes. Yeah. You know, I think he even hints at like Bix maybe can't handle it and you may have to, I don't know, take care of her, quote unquote, or do something. I think he kind of hints at if Bix can't handle things, you better lock that down, you know, type of thing. I mean,
Luthen's not one to leave loose ends. So
exactly. Yeah.
If she's a loose cannon, that's potentially a death sentence for her.
I think what we're seeing here, that the juxtaposition of Cassian and Luthen, is that Luthen is willing to break eggs to make this omelet. Like, starting a rebellion, there's going to be blood on the ground, and that's a line he's willing to cross. And I don't feel like Cassian is quite there yet. I mean, he's willing to go hijack some ships, but I don't think he's willing to send a bajillion people to their death. So we're just kind of seeing two different leaders, ? Of the rebellion, kind of at odds with each other.
I think fundamentally I agree, but I can't just gloss over the Cassian did lead a whole prison break, which was sending a lot of people to their deaths. But yeah, no, generally I think what we are seeing is Luthen is just relentless in his goals. Like, he will do whatever it takes.
There's another part of this that I wasn't quite sure about. I think he's very subtle, but like, Cassian's kind of asking for Luthen's help in this moment with Bix. Like, you know, I need you to help get her back on her feet, or maybe like help do something. I think he's just asking for some help and Luthen says no. But later, there's the flashing light, you know, that Bix sees at, you know, at night. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that indicates that that's Luthen's signal, right? That tells him that there's...
I wasn't 100% sure on that. I don't know.
Because that's what leads them to that, you know, their mission.
Isn't that what the signal was when Cassian got called out on the Gorman job?
Oh, was it? It's like the bat signal?
Yeah. Like, oh, okay. Hey, I got a job for you. Come over and...
So does that mean that Luthen organized this mission to kill Gorst? Does that... I mean, that's what it means, right? It's not like
we're getting a little bit ahead because we hadn't even mentioned right, that's what they're going
to
do.
All right, let's finish this out. Okay, so I wrote, so after Cassian goes to his Luthen shop at, 9 o'clock or whatever, they kind of get in a fight a little bit-ish. And then Cassian goes home. It cuts to their apartment and Bix is naked. I wasn't sure. It was just from the shoulders up, but she's standing in her kitchen looking out the window, taking more drugs. So she's just kind of walking around her apartment naked, snorting space cocaine or whatever. Cassian gets up from bed to check on her, and she basically demands to go on the mission with him. I think she's got cabin fever. Cassian is home, and she basically says, you got to take me on this mission. I need something to do. Like, I can't clean the apartment again. If I stay here, I'm just going to do more drugs. So she demands to go on the mission that Luthen has planned for Cassian. Which she does.
Well, what mission is that? That's this Dr. Gorst mission.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
So.
Yeah, pretty quick, but yeah.
Yeah. And I'm glad we were talking about this because I didn't put two and two together that was Dr. Gorst. So this is the guy that just got promoted.
Yep.
So she goes to, we see Bix and Cassian, I mean, go into just a nondescript building on Coruscant. I mean, I wasn't entirely sure. She basically hijacks Dr. Gorst, he's in his lab, whatever.
Yeah.
She hijacks him, puts him in the chair, and I can forget now. She puts the mask on her. She basically leaves him being tortured.
It's like a listening device it's like some alien screams that they've found to be a really good method of torture and can make you go insane and lose your...
So she puts that on him and then literally walks out the door.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just leaves him being tortured.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good revenge.
Yeah. As she's walking out, one of the guards from the building tries to stop her. She doesn't even say anything. She just straight up executes him. So she's on a mission. She's just tortured / killed Dr. Gorst. And then literally 5 minutes later, she's just straight up executing a guard. So I think Bix's give a fuck meter is pretty low at this point. She's... I want to say aggressive, and that's not the right word. She's eager to do rebellion stuff.
Well, and as a side note, I think anybody who's ever been a victim of some sort of sexual assault would love to return that exact same punishment on their assaulter with the exact same, and I will kill anybody who gets in my way type of... It was perfect justice. Like, for very, sure. Very satisfying.
It was very Han shoots first. Like, I mean, she doesn't even give the guy a second. She doesn't try and make up an excuse. She's just like, screw you, dude, and kills him.
Yep.
She meets up with Cassian as she's walking out of the building. Cassian pulls a little detonator out of his pocket, hits the button, boom, the building blows up, and they walk away cool movie style, right? Bad guys walking away from explosions. Or good guys
cool
walking away from explosions.
Cool dudes don't look at explosions.
Yeah. They didn't turn back at all. I was watching. They did not look back.
So cool. Yeah.
And that was a good way to end the episode. That was like the... I think that was the very ending, right?
I think that was.
So, I mean, that's the extent of that. The only other thing, and we need to go through the Gorman front, the mission, because I think that was the meat of this episode. You want to talk about the Gorman front there, Jason?
Yeah, sure. So basically Cassian backs out of the mission, and Luthen says he's got a backup plan when talking to Clea, and his backup plan is Vel and Cinta. We learn that Luthen has kind of kept them apart until now. So they have their reunion at like this coffee shop. I think it's the same coffee shop that Cassian was at when he met with the Gorman rebels. It
seems likely, yeah.
And there's kind of a cool shot of Vel and Cinta, and the window is like a yin-yang, kind of circling them. It's kind of a cool cinematic shot. But yeah, they talk about, what happened in the last year or so that they've been apart. Cinta had an accident. Doesn't say a whole lot of specifics, I don't think, about this accident, but she had a rough year. But she says she's thought about Vel and that she's had feelings. It feels like Cinta pulled away for the work a little bit, but then she's kind of re-expressed her feelings towards Vel, and they seem to be getting back together.
It's worth noting that Vel has been slowly helping foster rebellion on the Gorman front. She's been doing other things just off screen, but she's been just sort of stoking the fire a little bit. And at one point, Cinta, I mean, that's why they were meeting. Cinta gives her fuses, one can assume for bombs or whatever. So that was the reason that they were meeting in this coffee shop, was they had to exchange these fuses for the bombs that they were probably going to make.
Okay.
And I did write down, and this is what I wanted to ask you guys about, is Cinta, because again, they haven't seen each other for a year, and clearly they had a relationship prior to this. So Cinta said she needed a rest, but like you said, she had been thinking about Vel over the course of a year. But she also said she was, quote, confused and wasn't thinking clearly, were the two things that I wrote down. I wasn't sure what she was trying to say. It almost felt to me like she was saying, like, hey, maybe I'm not really a lesbian. I don't know where that was going.
Oh, I didn't get that.
Just the way that she said I was confused and wasn't thinking clearly makes me think that that has to do with...
Maybe. I just took it as that she was pulling away from Vel and felt like her relationship to Vel wasn't as important as the work I gathered, but that she came around and thought, what really is important to me? Maybe it is my relationships and you and such, so on and so forth.
So
it could be lesbian confusion.
I mean,
just the way she used the word confused, that triggered what that thought for me. So
I think maybe there's some truth in what both of you are saying, but my take on it was this: I don't really care about Cinta as a character. And, my thoughts on Vel is she's a pathetic leader and sort of a power tripping,
wow, jeez.
She sucks.
Wow, okay, hot take.
Is this because of something later?
I said the same stuff in season one when she was trying to, wasn't it Aldani that she was leading the rebels there? And she tried to be like, I'm in charge, I'm the leader, everyone's going to do what I said. And Cassian's kind of rolling his eyes going like, you kind of suck at this. And in fact, she did kind of suck at that.
That's true. I mean, she sucked. I don't know if I'd say she's like terrible, but like,
also spoiler alert, she leads this one, and what happens with this mission? Oh yeah, it goes off the rails.
Yeah, but that's because
literally
the next thing in my notes is when she's sort of taking a commanding role with the Gorman rebels, planning out their attack.
Yeah,
she says no one should have a blaster except for her and Cinta,
right? Because once again, she's the one in charge, and she's the leader, the
control freak.
But there's one dude that pushes back. His name is Sam. He's the spider vendor dude. He seems to think this is a ridiculous
wife or whatever.
Okay, yeah.
The two of them kind of push back on her.
Yeah. So, but later on, the blaster comes into play, and that seems like a mistake.
It's almost as if they were undisciplined and unready to carry out such a mission, and she was only blind.
Is that her fault?
Yes, because if she had been more objective and sat back, she would have realized these people are not capable of doing this.
Vel did have a line before the mission starts. She told them, don't think, just follow orders. Because a couple of the Gorman people started questioning, like, how are we going to do this? How are we going to get from point A to point B? And she was like, stop asking questions. Just do what I say. I got things taken care of.
Yeah, I'm in charge here. I know everything. Yeah. Well, do what I tell you to do.
The mission is a flawed one from the beginning. It's not really Vel's fault that it's a flawed mission. Luthen knows it's a flawed mission.
Why wasn't Cassian leading the mission?
Because he realized it was a flawed mission.
Oh, so Cassian's a better, like, objective evaluator of these people than Vel was. Because Vel was blinded by her own pride and
Vel and Cinta are the goon squad. They're willing to do whatever Luthen says. And so, like, if they are tasked with implementing a flawed mission, they're just going to do it because that's part of the mission.
You're just following orders, man.
Yeah. And so it's really more on Luthen that, you know, that this was sort of a flawed mission from the start. But that's also part of the plan. It, we don't know what the fallout is, and that's kind of one of my
criticisms. I guess at the end of the day, does it matter if the mission is a flawed mission or it succeeds or it doesn't? I mean, really, this is kind of the beginning of the Empire. This is about putting the rebellion on the map. Like, this is their first...
Let me just point this out. It's a very subtle thing, but it is consistent, I think. The people who are most successful in the Rebel Alliance are the ones who are able to think on their own and make decisions on their own and adapt to situations. The ones who blindly follow orders run into issues.
Okay.
Interesting. That's a very cool theme.
Don't give Doug too much credit, but yes, you're right.
May pop up. I haven't really seen that theme really outlined in the episode so far, but I could definitely, that, you know, I know you've seen the rest of them, so that's kind of a cool
idea. I mean, that's not where I'm basing that off of what I am. But okay. if you look at it does kind of hold up. Like, Bix is strong because Bix is able to adapt and make her own decisions. When they got raided on the wheat planet or whatever, and that dude was trying to rape her, she fought back on her own. She wasn't just following orders and stuff. Willman was following orders. And where did that lead him? Into captivity with... what's his name? Forrest Whitaker. Saw Gerrera. Thank you.
Yeah.
And Willman, for that matter... No, I don't think we know that about him yet. Never mind.
We don't know anything else about him yet.
He seemed to have joined, you know, Saw's cult.
He didn't have much choice
of whatever he was going on there. But anyway, let's
finish out the Gorman front mission. So
it's an interesting conversation. You want me to? What?
Cinta doesn't trust somebody named Drina. She wants her topside with them. She doesn't want them down in the. She suspects they may be not on the up and up.
Drina?
That's what I wrote down, yes. Drila? Drina? I don't know.
That was the girlfriend of the spider seller. Right?
Okay, that I didn't get catch her name.
Because he started to push back, and then she started to speak up like, who the hell are you? Like, we live here. This is our planet. We know what's best. And then Vel was like, I'm in charge.
We get a very emotional kiss between Cinta and Vel. Like, they haven't seen each other in, whatever, 12 months, 18 months, so they have this big emotional kiss right before this, I don't know what the word is, mission?
Yeah.
The Gorman front sets up an attack. If we remember from the last episode, the plan was they were going to hijack one of the incoming ships to this new building that they're building because they're under the assumption that there are weapons on it.
Yeah.
Throughout this whole time, what's her name? What's Cyril's girlfriend's name?
Oh,
Daedra.
Yeah.
Daedra, it cuts a couple times. We see Daedra working with Partagaz, like, at the Empire. They're actively monitoring this mission. So it's ultimately a double cross. The Empire knows the Gorman Front is going to attack. The Gorman Front thinks they have inside information because... they've been leaked some information.
Partagaz, though, like, says he's like exiting all. I wrote down all personnel from the control center must leave immediately for security reasons.
Oh, interesting.
During this attack, so it seems like even the Empire doesn't. Oh, it probably has to do with the Kalkite mission. You know, since it has to do with that mission, it's more like super top secret stuff. I guess, you know, even he even has that line that, you know, says Daedra can't let Cyril know what the real mission is and all of that. So
Cyril's basically on his space cell phone back to the Empire, giving him a play-by-play of what the Gorman Front is doing and trying to hijack this mission in real time.
Out of curiosity, would you say Cyril is making his own decisions or just following orders?
He's just following orders.
Oh, okay.
I mean, do you want to elaborate?
No, not really.
Okay. Dude, that guy is the definition of just following orders.
He is, yeah.
He loves following orders.
The Gorman Front sets up an attack. They bomb the truck, I guess, whatever it was. it succeeds. They blow open the back of the truck and they're pulling cases of whatever out of the back of this truck into the sewers. We assume that these are the arms that they were looking for. After the truck gets blowed up, hijacked, whatever, Vel notices that Drina is missing. So Vel goes looking for her because I think she was already on Vel's radar of, hey, something's up with this girl and now she's not here. So, and this is where it gets a little confusing for me. I was hoping you guys could clear this up. There's a fracas in the alley, right? That guy is walking towards the destroyed truck and the Gorman front guy says, no, there's nothing to see here. You need to turn around and go home. And then the guy pulls a gun out and he doesn't listen to him. And he's like, no, seriously, I'm going to shoot you if you don't. And then they get in a tussle and somehow Cinta gets shot like as a bystander.
A stray laser bolt, yeah.
Is that what happened? So,
kind of. There was also an older woman that kind of wanders in there and they're kind of like pushing her out of the scene. And that's when that other dude sees that and sort of like gets involved, I guess. I think that's about you described it. I think
it's okay. Well, I guess the part I got confused about was okay, whoever I'm just going to call him the fat guy was the bigger guy that was walking into the alley that they were trying to get rid of. He gets in a tussle with one of the Gorman front people that, you know, there's a stray bullet that goes and ends up hitting Cinta, but was later. When they're carrying Cinta's body out of the alley because she's dead, was it not that same guy that was carrying her?
I didn't catch that detail.
What?
It just seemed really strange. And again, I might be getting the characters mixed up. It seemed really strange to me that this just random bystander that ended up getting Cinta killed is then later carrying her body back to the, you know, trucks
that these rebels guy, can escape. I recognize that guy because he had kind of a unique look. He the only other place I remember seeing him was in that sort of town hall meeting. He was like up on a podium arguing with them. So he's probably aware of what the Gorman front is and they maybe let him in on what was going on if he was carrying her body.
Maybe he was like an honorary member of the Gorman front because he wasn't part of the mission.
No, he wasn't
in on their mission. Later he gets involved.
Mission. Anyway. Yeah, I think he was just a bystander. But
I need to
it was that. Sam, the spider vendor dude, who disobeyed orders and had a blaster on him, which he shouldn't have had, which then led to this tussle causing Cinta's death. Had he listened to Vel, that may not have happened.
So you're saying Vel's poor leadership caused Cinta to die?
No, I think what he's saying is the opposite, is this spider guy, cellar guy, who was able to think on his feet and bring a gun caused the...
Oh, yeah. Was he following orders thinking on his feet?
He was literally not following orders.
And did what happened to him be bad?
Let me ask you this. If you're in charge and something goes wrong, whose fault is it? It's yours. Okay. You are in charge. It doesn't matter what excuses. It doesn't matter what circumstances. It's your fault. It is Vel's fault that things went sideways.
Okay. Let's talk about the very last. Okay.
You don't seem to. No. Nuge's face is. We can't tell on the podcast.
This is kind of exactly the opposite of what you're saying. Like, the people who just follow orders are the ones that have a downfall or like have bad things happen to them. But like this, like you were saying, the Sam dude brought a blaster thinking on his feet.
Yeah. I don't.
And that ended up being the problem. So it's on him. I mean, there's not much Vel can do. Other than like demand you listen to her, you know, what does she demand herself?
No. Let's talk about that for a sec. What else could Vel have done?
I mean, I guess she could have searched everyone, you know, ahead of time, like search their pockets. That's a
possibility, yes.
But does that start to like erode, you know, so trust at that point?
Here's the point that I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Vel took the heavy-handed, you're going to do it my way because I say so approach. Instead, she could have paused for a second, listened to them, been a little bit more understanding. Part of being a leader is listening to the people that are under you.
Fair.
Listening to their concerns, their wants, their desires, and then, if necessary, adapting to that. They were all on edge. They were all pissed off. They were all angry. She didn't listen to that. She said, okay, nice to know, screw you, you're going to do it my way. If she had paused, listened to their concerns, discussed it with them, then maybe from a more rational standpoint, she could have explained, this is why we don't want blasters. This is why, because we don't want unforeseen circumstances to come up. She didn't do any of that. She said, you're going to do it my way because I say so. She did that because she was doing what Luthen was telling her to do. Because Luthen said, go in, make the mission happen. And so she went in. She's making the mission happen at all costs.
But I think there's a middle ground between being a good leader and hearing out your people. And sometimes you just got to stand up and say, it is the way it is.
And like, the time to do that is after you listen to them.
Okay.
Fair. You know, that's good.
I don't think you guys appreciate how much Vel sucks.
Clearly not.
I don't see it. But
she's a terrible leader.
All right. Do you want to talk about the last scene with Vel in the truck?
Well, she just is crying and
says, there's a little more to it than just crying.
Berates that dude for disobeying her orders, right?
So they're in the getaway truck, and Vel is just like seething because her girlfriend just got killed. The mission goes south. Her girlfriend got killed, and she basically gives the world's best guilt trip to what was the guy's name? Sam?
Sam.
To Sam, who just kind of sits there and just cries, you know, just... I wrote down that her speech to him and, you know, the guilt trip that she gives him was pretty great. She's clearly very upset at this thing going south.
She goes into, like, how good yes. of a soldier Cinta was and, like, how experienced and all that. Just, like,
yeah.
you know, taken away. Yeah. That was a pretty...
I thought the writing pathos, was good. Yeah.
Whatever you... Yeah. Anyway, that was good.
I kind of ignored it because she's trash.
She just got back together with her long lost, you know, lover after over a year apart.
Yes.
And, you know, they just had romantic reunion.
Friends are hard.
You know, and then she's taken away from her. And that's, well, it's a smaller slug pot, but it's well built and well done.
Those are all the plot points that I wrote down. Is there anything that we missed that I missed?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do think the ending, the way it ended, really bumped it up for me. Like as far as the quality of the show, the way the whole Bix and Cassian
walking revenge away from explosions,
and that, like that yeah. was
that was cool. a good way to
and
end it.
And it was great to see Bix come from out. Underneath it did it seems like she's come out from underneath her stress and her issues or at least become confident enough to like get that revenge, and then that hopefully gives her more,
if nothing else, she's no longer wallowing in her own like misery.
Yeah, I was worried. I was
worried she finally has something to do.
Right.
I mean, we've all been there,
other
right?
than drugs.
You're too. Sick or whatever, and you're just staring at the same four walls you've been staring at for a week. Like you're like, dear God, just give me anything to do so that
and we know,
have purpose.
We know from all of fiction that revenge always fixes all of your mental problems.
Yeah, clearly.
So it's true. It's true.
I'm sure she'll be great.
Plus, as bad as things got for her, she did a bunch of space meth. But at least she didn't smoke any death sticks.
At least.
That's a good point. Sticks. That could have been death sticks. I forgot about that. You want to go home and rethink your life? I know that line. All right, that's it. That's the episode. I'll go real quick. I didn't like this episode. I mean, it was cool. I mean, it was good. We get to see some action. But it felt confusing and sort of jumbled to me. I didn't follow exactly what the party that Mon Mothma, those guys were at. So, I don't know, but even, and I won't say it was a bad episode, it just wasn't my favorite, but even a not great Tony Gilroy episode of Andor still rates like a 7.9 out of 10 for me.
Okay, 7.9.
What about you, Doug?
Probably, I would give it like an 8.5. Okay. So, once again, we know that... This season is coming in little trilogy segments, mm-hmm. and this was the finale of this trilogy. We did get some action, which I was finally happy to get, other than Mon Mothma dancing on drugs at a wedding. Mm-hmm. So I was satisfied with that. I agree with you. Like, some of the points were kind of like, what are we doing here? Like, the whole trying to remove the bug at the party, it just kind of felt...
What?
Unimportant.
Yeah, I'm with you. I was not a huge fan of the bug. I mean, I understand that it's important for them, but it was long and drawn out, and I was like, okay, I don't really care.
It took
about
up a
this.
Lot of screen time when yeah. I would have preferred to see more of the Gorman rebellion. And I'm nitpicking because overall it was still good, it was still solid. But
the Gorman Rebellion part honestly felt kind of rushed. I mean, the whole thing was like 4 minutes. I'm like, dude, they're trying to hijack this truck, and we know it's going to go south, and there's a lot here, and it, yeah.
Could have done with less Lonnie and Clea and more
sure.
Vel being a terrible leader.
Yeah. You want more of Vel being a terrible leader?
It gives me something to rage against, which also, speaking of giving something to rage against, I loved seeing the Justice for Bix. Hashtag justice
yeah,
for Bix.
For sure.
Yeah, that was definitely like the cherry on top for
that
the episode.
Was satisfying.
It was a great ending to like this 3-episode arc. I'm going to give it an 8.9, so pretty high. But like as far as a finale for these arcs, I thought it didn't really kind of meet my expectations.
You wanted a
like you were
more.
Thinking. I think so, especially the Gorman. In fact, I'm kind of opposite of you guys. I thought the Gorman rebel attack thing really didn't live up to the way it was built out, especially the aftermath. Like, that was the whole issue with it, was going to be the aftermath. Like, what's going to happen after this attack, and how is that going to play out? We don't see any of that, and presumably we're going to skip ahead a year. So,
Okay.
I don't know.
Just
okay.
wait.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe it we felt will, like they were setting up for.
We're going to skip ahead, so we're not going to see the immediate aftermath. Yeah, we're not going to see the things fall out in real time.
I right? also want to rewind a little bit. I should have brought this up earlier. I just point this out. That whole set for the Gorman heist that they did, that was all a practical set. Like, they legitimately built a city street with buildings and a sewer for them.
Oh, really?
Like, that was
tell.
Insanely well done.
Yeah. All of those artifacts in the art gallery, that, to me, I loved that scene. And the way that he cut, he kind of did this with the finale of the first arc, and I think in other episodes, like, where the tensions rise, but he's cutting in between scenes between the heist and, like, Mon Mothma's confrontation with Krennic. They're like having a political argument about like rebels and terrorists, and it's really intense. I thought that was a really intense on the edge of my seat, you know, sequence that was matched with the heist. And, you know, we know something bad is going to happen with the heist. You just know. So like, I thought that was a really well done sequence. I did not find it to be like, you know, like you said, unnecessary or egregious. I don't know. I thought it was good. But it did kind of tie into a bow a little too easily. Like, they did get away. There wasn't anything really messy happening. But, and also, yeah, the Gorman thing, Cinta dies. That's not great. But, like, I assume the entire empire is going to be just coming down on the Gorman people at that point, and we're just cutting away until next year. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. So... 8.9. Yeah. What? Yeah. I was gonna say something else, but I forgot.
I'm sure it was really poignant.
Yeah, I'm sure it was very important. Yeah.
Was it about Vel?
Vel's a great leader.
She is not a great leader.
Oh, can I go on record on the podcast? Mon Mothma was looking smoking hot in this episode. She got all dressed up to go to that party. Dude, sign me up for
some
of that.
She's a pretty lady.
She was. Yeah.
She's pretty. Yeah.
All right. Let's end on that note. Mon Mothma's a hottie.
Fair enough. We can all agree on one thing.
Vel's a terrible leader.
You guys want to logicate out and we'll be done?
Logicate out.
Logicate out.